fine. I get along with my arthritis. But oh, how I miss my mind. Let's pray for these brothers. And let's open our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. I want to lead you tonight to that place which is the best place to be in all of God's universe. Oh, I know you're thinking of heaven, and in one sense that's true, but I want you to come with me to that place which is the best place in all of God's universe. And we have spent some time there in the previous service, and that place is at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. I couldn't help but think, sitting here meditating before the service began, of the Apostle Paul writing his last letter, 2 Timothy, before he was beheaded. And I think if I were interviewing Paul, I would say something like this to him. Now, Paul, you are an old man physically. You are a condemned man circumstantially. And yet you are a dedicated man spiritually. Now, I read where you spoke about all of the things that had befallen you. You were beaten. You were in the deep. And all of these things that you've experienced since identifying yourself with this Jesus of Nazarene. Of Nazareth. And now, here you are about to be beheaded. What do you have to say about this? I mean, was it all in vain? Did you misplace your trust? Why are you willing to be such a committed, a dedicated man? And Paul would say, even as he wrote, "For I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul would say, "Oh, I have learned so much of his greatness." And he wrote about that too, didn't he, in Philippians chapter 3, that I might know him. Well, we want to think about the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ, because it is spending time in his presence, being quiet before him, allowing the Holy Spirit of God to bring the Word of God to our minds. It is spending time in his presence at his feet that we learn his greatness. We have a wonderful Savior. He is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Brother Vance Havner, and you've appreciated his ministry over the years. He lived in Greensboro, you know, and there were times I saw him around town. Vance Havner. He said, "You don't fully realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is all you need until you come to that place where he's all you have. And then you realize he's all you want." It is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that we learn of his greatness. He's greater than our sins. He's greater than our service. He's greater than our sorrows. He is greater than ourselves. Let us think about being at his feet and learning of his greatness. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself." Keep in mind now, he's simply thinking. "He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering his thinking now, "Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. What wonderful words to this woman of the street. It was at his feet that she learned of his greatness, and she learned that he was greater than her sins. This immoral woman, many would have nothing to do with her. And what a tragic story these words would unfold to us. You know, when one falls, oftentimes the helpers are few and the oppressors are many. Now, this woman was guilty of many sins. The Lord Jesus said that. Thy sins, which are many. So she was guilty of many sins. But possibly she had heard the Lord Jesus say, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Surely she had heard in one way or another about his miracle working abilities. At any rate, she came to the Lord Jesus. She came to his feet. Now keep in mind, the table that the Lord Jesus and the others had assembled around would have been a very short table, low to the floor, and the guests would be sitting at that table, or more likely they would have been reclining, resting on one elbow or the other and their feet away. And so this woman came to that scene, and she came to the feet of the Lord Jesus. She came to him because her need of him was greater than her fear of them. She came to the Lord Jesus because his love drew her and her sins drove her to the Savior. And there at his feet, she wept out repentance for a sinful life. Now, Simon would not have permitted her to even touch him. And he was surprised in his thinking that the Lord Jesus would allow this woman of the streets to touch him even. Well, she heard the words of the Lord Jesus, Thy sins are many, are all forgiven. What wonderful words. I remember some years ago in Greensboro, I was visiting a lady in the fellowship at Wesley Long Hospital. In the room with this lady was a younger lady, and she was quite impressed over the number of visitors that came from the chapel, Shannon Hill Chapel, to visit with this woman. And she was also quite impressed with conversations that she heard. And she told me that most who come in have prayer. She was not used to that. And so it was while I was there visiting with this woman, and usually when I would visit someone in the hospital, I would say to the other patient, Now I'm going to pray for this person here. Would you like me to pray for you? And so I had a little conversation with this younger woman, and she said to me, She said, Preacher, can I talk with you in private? I said, Yes, by all means. She was ambulatory, so we went out into a little waiting area, and that woman began sobbing. And finally, when she gained composure, she said to me, some years ago, I committed a terrible sin. She told me what it was. And I'm not in the habit of broadcasting what people share with me. This is a good many years ago now. But she shared with me what was weighing upon her heart. She told me about this terrible sin that she committed. And she said, I had a preacher to tell me that I could never be forgiven of my sin. I said, the preacher told you you could never be forgiven? She said, yes, and she was weeping. And I had her to look at, when she was able to do so, through the tears, to look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. I said, I want you to read that. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And she read that verse. And I said, I want you to read it again. And how many sins are cleansed? And oh my, she cried even more, but now they were tears of joy. She said, well, that says all sin. I said, that's right. And so we talked further and looked at other scriptures, and I believe that woman was gloriously saved that day. But to think that some preacher had told her that she could never be forgiven. And quite possibly, ones like Simon the Pharisee was treating this woman in such a way, and maybe, just maybe, they knew more about her than they were willing to confess themselves. But they would not even allow this woman to touch them. And they treated this woman in such a way as if she could never be forgiven of her sins. But the Lord Jesus said, thy sins, which are many, are forgiven. It is at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ that we learn his greatness. He is greater than our sins. And I know there are times, as some have shared with me, when Satan will come and he will seek to cause believers to doubt. But listen, the word of God is true. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are assured that the blood of Jesus Christ, and the wording is in the present continuous form, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, goes on cleansing us from all sin. It is at his feet that we learn his greatness. And how many times have we sung the song, I've tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever only Jesus. Though some should sneer and some should blame, I'll go to him because his name, above all names, is Jesus. It's wonderful to know him as Savior, isn't it? It's wonderful to know that our sins are all forgiven. It is at his feet that we learn his greatness. He is greater than our sins. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Look at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Oh my, my, we need to spend more time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, learning his greatness. Mary is a good example. We read of Mary three times in Scripture. And have you realized that every time you read of her, she's at the feet of the Lord Jesus? And what wonderful lessons this brings to us. We were thinking this morning, or at least we touched upon the fact that the Lord Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. And we were thinking of him particularly this morning as the way, and in doing so, we were thinking of him as the priest. But he is prophet, priest, and king. Mary sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and three times we read of her being at his feet, learning his greatness. One time, she's at the feet of the Lord Jesus, the prophet. Another time, she's at the feet of the Lord Jesus, the priest. And the third time, she's at the feet of the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings. But we learn from this portion of his greatness, that he's not only greater than our sins, as pictured in Luke chapter 7, but the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than our service. And it seems that we have difficulty in learning this lesson. I speak for myself, but I don't think I'm that different from you. It seems that we have difficulty in learning this lesson, that he is greater than our service. Mary delighted to take the place of a learner at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Martha was serving. It seems that Martha had been sitting at the feet of Jesus, because we read Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So I'm inclined to think from the wording that Martha had been at his feet, but there was so much to do. And so she was cumbered about with much serving. There is so much to do. I wrote in the margin of my Bible, I don't know where the outline came from, and I take no credit for it, but I wrote in the margin of my Bible, the pressing can crowd out the needful, and the good can crowd out the best, and the temporal can crowd out the eternal. Oh my, we live in a busy world, don't we? As I've said before, we live in a heat and eat, a brown and serve, a sip and dip, a chill and pour, a wash and wear. We live in an instant type of world. Everything is done so quickly. We have more time-saving devices than any other time in human history, and we have less time. Now, go figure. We have less time. And when it comes to spending time quietly at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, just thinking about him, learning of him, and thus learning of his greatness, that is something that we have to make time for. We won't find time to do it. We have to make time. And this is one thing needful for all of us, to spend more time at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but there's so much to do. I jotted down this thought, too. That the Lord has more to say to us and to do in us than to say through us and to do by us. Shall I repeat that? The Lord has more to say to us and to do in us than to say through us and to do by us. Oh my, service is so important. It really is. But it's more important to spend time in the Lord's presence, learning of his greatness. You examine the Gospels, and you will find there are those occasions where the Lord wanted to use his disciples. And first he called them to himself, as if to say, now, I'm going to use you, but I want you to spend a little time in my presence first, because I want you to look at these people through my eyes. I want you to feel for these people through my heart. Come to me first, and then I will send you forth in service. And I said this is a difficult lesson to learn, and I'm saying it on the basis of being a preacher as such and being so active in going about preaching and teaching the word. It's a hard lesson for me to learn, and it's an ongoing process for us to realize that spending time with him is most important, because our service for him will be as effective as our time spent with him. I have found myself, and this is a confession on my part, I have found myself at times looking for something to give. Well, I've got to speak, you know, I've got to speak here and there, and I have to give something. And so I find myself looking for something to give rather than just getting something for myself. We're so busy. The Bible should be the first book, the family book, the familiar book. And we need to get before the open word and spend time in the presence of the Lord just meditating upon Him, thinking about our blessed Lord and Savior. Now, I said Mary was at His feet. Every time we read of her, she's at His feet. Here in this portion, we find Mary waiting at the feet of the prophet to hear his word. Mary is waiting at the feet of the prophet to hear his word. She's at his feet, satisfying her appetite. And here Martha is serving. And she's agitated. Lord, there's so much to do, and my sister just sitting there at your feet. She evidently doesn't care about the service that I'm performing and what needs to be done. You know, listen, aren't we like that? Even what we do in the way of service for the Lord can become a source of irritation if we're not spending time with the Lord. And yet, it's a difficult lesson for us to learn. We need to spend time in His presence, just meditating upon Him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Paul said that I might know Him. So here is Mary waiting at the feet of the prophet to hear His word. And the Lord said to Martha, now Martha, Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. There might come a time when our service, for one reason or another, might be taken away. But spending time at His feet, in His presence, occupied with Him, we learn of Him, and that can never be taken away from us. So she's waiting at the feet of the prophet to hear His word. You're in Luke 10, go to the right, to John's Gospel, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11. Now, I'm taking it that you're familiar with the story of Lazarus here. You will see in verse 1, that Lazarus was sick. And so the sisters sent word to Jesus. Come down to verse 3. They sent word to Jesus, and they said unto Him, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. It's interesting, the word they used. He whom thou phileo is sick. Now, verse 5 says, now Jesus loved agape. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But Lazarus was sick to death, and he died. I said, I think you know the story. And the Lord Jesus finally said to His disciples that Lazarus is asleep. I go to awaken him out of his sleep. Well, the disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's doing well. That means his body is being rejuvenated. It's in a healing process. If he's sleeping, he's resting, that's good. No, Jesus said he's dead. You know, it is interesting, too, and I pass this along for what it's worth. There are those who would have us to believe in what is spoken of as soul sleep. I believe it's the Seventh-day Adventists who teach this. Soul sleep. The Bible has nothing to say about soul sleep. Where the word sleep is used for death. Now, sometimes the word sleep is used for sleeping in rest. But where the word sleep is used for death, it is always used in connection with believers. at the time of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. This is in Matthew's Gospel. There was an earthquake, you remember, and the bodies of the saints which slept arose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and so on. So Lazarus is dead. The Lord Jesus said, he's sleeping, but I'm going to awaken him out of sleep. And he said plainly, verse 14, Lazarus is dead. And so the Lord Jesus heads for Bethany. I want you to look down at verse 19. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Boy, that's a rebuke, isn't it? But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. I want you to notice this, because I believe what we are reading here now is the first, what's the word I want, intimation of the Lord Jesus coming again. Some believe that it's John chapter 14. I'm inclined to think that the first intimation of it is here in John chapter 11. And I need for you to look this way because from my Jewish background, I need to talk with my hands. I need to illustrate. Paul said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Some are going to die. Others will not die, but we'll all be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So the Lord Jesus comes to Bethany. Mary, or Martha, rebukes the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Now note what Martha said. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now make a note of that, because when it comes to church truth, there's going to be another resurrection. Those who believed in bodily resurrection, not all Jews did, but those who did knew of only one resurrection, because they didn't know anything about the church. But there's going to be two resurrections. So Martha said, I know he's going to rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now note this, get back to my hands now. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What was she going to say? Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. Some are going to die and some will never die. Lord, I don't know what you're saying, but I believe you're the Christ. Well, there's going to be another resurrection before that last resurrection. And to illustrate what he said, he raised Lazarus from the dead. But my point is this. It is at his feet that we learn of his greatness. Because here comes Mary. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, aren't you touched with our sorrow? Aren't you touched with our bereavement? Aren't you touched with these things that weigh so heavily upon us? And she's at his feet. Now, at the first, she was waiting at the feet of the prophet to hear his word. She was there to satisfy her appetite. Now she's weeping at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the priest, to receive his sympathy. She's at his feet to quell her anxiety. Lord, aren't you touched? Well, as our priest, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And this is manifested as we come on down the page. Verse 34. He said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, come and see. Jesus wept. Isn't that wonderful? As our great high priest, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. They were weeping, and he wept. He was touched, but he's the all-powerful one, and he can do something about it. So it is at his feet that we learn he's greater than our sins. It is at his feet that we learn he's greater than our service. It is at his feet that we learn he is greater than our sorrows. I'm sure all of us here have loved ones who've gone on. I think maybe I told you about the last day with my brother, one of my brothers, David. Before he died, I preached his funeral shortly after that. But we spent our last day together here. Went to the old neighborhood in Richmond that you shouldn't go into in the daytime, and by all means don't go into it at night. But it was the day when we went there. And we took some pictures. I had a picture there of David and myself when we were just little boys, standing by a power pole on 25th Street. And I took a picture of him, he took a picture of me. I said, well, now, David, it'd be nice if we could take a picture together and have the two, you know. And so I looked back, and here was a housing project. And here were some people sitting on the porch, and one of which was a black man. I called to him, and I said, sir, could I ask a favor of you? He came out, he was looking at us kind of hard. What do you want? I said, would you mind snapping a picture of my brother and myself? I said, we're spending our last day together. And he looked at us. My brother spoke up and he said, yes, I'm dying. I don't have long. And we're spending our last day together. Oh, yeah, he said, I'll take a picture. I went on to say to the man, I said, but he has trusted Christ as his Savior, so he knows where he's going. And shortly after that, he went to be with the Lord. Somebody said, well, how can you talk like that at a time like that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than our sorrows. And as we heard this morning, he has everything under control. He is greater than our sorrows. You're in John chapter 11. Look at John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Dear Martha, still busy, isn't she? Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, that's strange, isn't it? Lazarus sat at the table with him. It's his house. Lazarus sat at the table with him. You know, the Lord Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and then what? He with me. He comes in as the guest, but he becomes the host. Lazarus sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. Here is Mary the third time, now weeping, or worshiping, I should say, at the feet of the king, giving him adoration. Worshiping at the feet of the king to anoint him. Worshiping at the feet of the Lord Jesus, expressing her adoration. The first time she was waiting at the feet of the prophet to receive his word. The second time, weeping at the feet of the priest to receive his sympathy. And now worshiping at the feet of the king to anoint him. And she took that ointment of spikenard, very costly. We're told about a year's wage. And the Lord Jesus said, she's been saving this for my burial. When I read that some time ago, I thought, now surely she loved her brother, but she didn't use that ointment on him when he died. No. The Lord Jesus is greater. She was saving it for him and for his burial. See, she had learned that much. But I think she learned something even more than that. I think she came to that point of realizing, because she had learned his greatness, well, if he's going to be worthy of it at his burial, he's worthy of it now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not going to wait and give it to him then. I'm going to give it to him now. Now, maybe she had obtained that ointment for herself originally. I don't know that. I'm just thinking that was the case. She had gotten it for herself. But at his feet, she had learned something of the greatness of the Lord Jesus, that he's not only greater than our sins and greater than our service, greater than our sorrows, he's greater than ourselves. How wonderful to know him as Lord and Savior. Let's look to the hymnal, please, in closing. I think it's 384. No, that's not it. It's all to Jesus I surrender. 386. Thank you, brother. 386. Thank you. Now, is that the first mistake, Joe? I think that is the first mistake, isn't it? Let's sing the first and last stanzas.